The Rudin Report Live presents Nothing But Net, a look at Connecticut high school basketball with Dave Rudin on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Nothing But Net, the final episode of Nothing But Net for the season. And we're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. It was quite a Saturday night, and it was a classic. It was a classic. It didn't start out that way. It ended that way. The first triple overtime game, championship game in state history, and when it was all over, West Haven came away with a 79-72 win over Staples, denying the Wreckers of a perfect season and their first state championship since 1937, though, as we'll talk about. Staples certainly represented themselves quite well. Joining us on the show today, we're going to have Jeff Jacobs, the multi-time state sports writer of the year. He covered the game for me last night at Mohegan Sun. He's going to join us. And we're going to have a quick little visit from Dave Danko, who was a former standout player at what was then known as Andrew Ward High School, as now the girls basketball coach at Fairfield Wharton. He was honored at Mohegan over the weekend. I was there. I go way back with him, and my co-host coached him for a little bit. And speaking of my co-host, as we do this for the last time this winter, Mike Walsh. Mike, I hyped it up. I told you it was going to be a great game yesterday morning. I thought that Vanderbilt shot was going to go down at the end.
Well, that was certainly a good game, but the Staples of West Haven game was one for the ages. I really was excited watching that game. You know, obviously I was kind of leaning towards Staples, hoping that they could pull it out, and they almost did. They have nothing to be ashamed of, and neither does West Haven. I mean, when it went to the overtimes, it was like a heavyweight fight. I mean, one team hits a three, and then they... other team comes down and hits another three. I mean, it's something that could have got either way. And I really admire the kids. I mean, to play three overtimes, you know, you're exhausted, but they didn't let exhaustion get in the way. They played hard and they got after it. And as I told you last night, it's a shame that one team had to lose. But, you know, it was a great game to see and a great game to end the season, as you want to say, as far as these basketball.
Yeah, I mean, through three and a half quarters, it wasn't a classic. It was a defensive battle, and Staples, which has made a trademark for itself on its defensive play this year, finally ran into a team that was its equal defensively. And from about midway through the fourth quarter on, it went from a defensive battle to like you said, two heavyweights. You know, Staples gave West Haven everything it could ask for. And basically, it was two teams that was forcing the other to summon the heart of the champion. And that's what West Haven did. And kudos to them. They beat Notre Dame of West Haven, which we all thought was going to be the state champion all during the year. They beat them in the semifinals, and then they take down an undefeated 26-0 Staples team in the finals. So kudos to them. Kudos for, you know, their coaching staff, a great defensive game plan. Mike, there's so much to unpack here in a short period of time. I guess I'll just start with, at the end of regulation in the two overtimes, it looked like West Haven was going to put the game away, put its stamp on it, and then at the end of regulation, missed four straight foul shots, gave Staples the opportunities to stay in the game and win, and Staples took full advantage of them. They wouldn't let West Haven put them away, and they had three chances to win the game at the end of regulation and the two overtimes. The end of regulation was where they got the good look from Dylan Lohman, who had already hit five three-point shots, and his shot was off. And then the two overtimes, Sam Klocko had really, really low percentage shots that didn't go down, but it kept looking. After West Haven missed those four foul shots, I texted you. I said, you know, Staples is going to win the game now. And it was the end of each, the end of the regulation, two overtimes were very similar.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, as you say, the first overtime, I thought that Lohman had a real good, clean look, and I thought that was going down and Staples was going to be undefeated and state champs. But, you know, that's the way basketball is. Sometimes the Staples' best defense in the overtime was to foul West Haven. They really had a tough night at the foul line. You know, it was just a great game. And I think West Haven's quickness helped them a lot. You know, especially, you know, I was telling you before, there were so many charge block calls in that game that probably could have gone either way. But Staples was just a step slow getting to the, you know, position to get the charge. And but again, then West Haven didn't take advantage by hitting a lot of free throws. The effort was there. There's no question about it. And as I said, I mean, I was kind of hoping that Staples would pull it out. But kudos to West Haven and their coach. He switched defenses an awful lot on. At times, it didn't confuse Staples, but they had to take time to adjust to it because they're very good at executing their offense. I mean, he played zone sometimes. He played denial on Klocko sometimes. He was able to kind of disrupt Sam and take him off his game a little bit. But, again, the defense that Staples played on them was, you know, forced them to go one-on-one a lot of times. And, you know, they kicked out to Johnson several times, and he was able to bang the threes down. I mean, he was just had an incredible performance. And I'm sure that, you know, he was one of the big reasons why they won. And I understand his father was an assistant coach on the team, so he must have been very proud of him also. But again, you can't take it away from any of the kids on either team. They gave it all. They left it on the court. And, you know, three overtimes. I mean, I don't know if I would have survived as a coach handling three overtimes like that. But Goshaw and Sullivan for West Haven certainly did.
Yeah. You know, Staples defense, they forced 19 turnovers. Some of them were unforced on paper, but I unforced because I think Staples was playing such good defense, even though it looked unforced at the time. I thought they took West Haven out of their comfort zone. And I like you, I really liked the way Ty Sullivan, the West Haven coach, switched defenses. And he's the first person, West Haven's the first team that really was able to contain Klocko, who's sort of is the heart of the Staples attack. And, you know, Sam had a tough game with, you know, 3-for-12 shooting. Where I thought they did a really good job defending him was, you know, I told you the stat that really stood out is Klocko had 5 assists in triple overtime when he'd been averaging 8 a game. So I thought he did a good job didn't completely shut him down, but neutralize him maybe as much as you're able to. But other guys stepped up. I thought Mason Tobias was terrific. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and he played really well inside. Staples did what it always did. They had 4 guys in double figures, and they were 1 point shy of putting all 5 in there. So, you know what? Last night was not what Staples didn't do. It's what they forced West Haven to do. And West Haven did it. You can't call Staples, you know, the loser. I think to my friend too, when he had kids who wanted, you know, they didn't want to tell one of their kids that they lost at something. So I always referred to the kid as the second winner. So I kind of look at Staples as the second winner, that they didn't see it that way. You know, the two things you and I have kind of talked about as well was you wondered, they hadn't seen it certainly during the league season too much, but how Staples would deal with a team that was really fast. And You know, Notre Dame prep, and we're not even going to be talking about the state semifinal when we're it was they beat Notre Dame prep by 6 points, but got off to a big lead early, and that 6 points was misleading. But some pressure late in the game bothered them, and I thought some of the speed, as you said, by West Haven caused them some trouble. And then, you know, the other thing you and I have been talking about was Staples hadn't been behind late in the game. How would they react to it? And they reacted well. They came back from – the game had 8 lead changes in it, and they came back from a 8-point deficit late in the third quarter. So we got the answer. Yeah, they certainly could handle being down.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dave Gosselin made a point of that. You know, they were down 8 points with a couple minutes to go in the third quarter. And, you know, West Haven was on a roll. And I think they'd outscored them like 20-4 at one point between the second and third quarters. And then, you know, they came back. And, you know, they didn't panic. They still ran their sets. They got good shots. And they knocked them down. And then they, as you say, they played really good defense on West Haven. And, you know, they came out and made this a great game, a memorable game. And as we said, I don't know if we'll ever see a triple overtime game like that again. And it was really exciting to watch. But and it was grueling for both teams. And you know, I think the fans that were there and the fans that watched, and they have to be proud of both teams. You know, and obviously West Haven is really proud because they won. But as you said before, Staples has nothing to be ashamed of. It was a terrific effort on their part.
Yeah, I look at it, it's disappointing for them that they ended 26-1. 27-0 in their first state championship since 37. You know, what better way to end the season? Certainly the loss in no way tarnishes their season, hardly. It's more, in my eyes, a disappointment, though. I'm sure they're, hopefully this morning, I'm sure they're crushed by the outcome, but hopefully they can recognize the way they played and the effort involved. Why don't we take a break here, and obviously we're going to keep talking about this game for a while, and joining us on the other side will be Jeff Jacobs. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
A look at Connecticut high school basketball. Nothing But Net on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut with your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back and still unpacking the game for the ages last night, West Haven 79-72, triple overtime win over Staples. And joining us right now, I forgot if he's the 10 or 12 time sports writer of the year when he was at the Hartford Current. And fortunately, he's been with the Rudin Report the last 3 years and covered the game for me at Mohegan last night. Read his game story, because he did a great job of weaving together the tapestry of the game and putting together a nice bow on Staples' season, and wrote a great feature on Sam Klocko as well. And that's Jeff Jacobs. Jake, how you doing? I kept you up a little late last night.
You sure did. That's my bedtime, but it was worth it because it was just a classic game. I don't know if I've ever seen a high school game as wildly entertaining as that, and intense with everything on the line. It was, you know, there's no moral victories, especially in a state championship, but boy, Staples, they gave it everything. They got an awful lot to be proud of today.
What were they like after the game? What was Coach Dave Goldschur like? And I know you got a couple of quotes from Sam Klocko. Sometimes after a game like that, you know, players don't want to talk, and you have to respect that. And what you're able, you know, credit to him that he met with the media after. But what were they like after?
Well, first of all, as the buzzer ended, Mason Tobias just dropped to the floor and was laying on his back, just kind of pain, agony. And then Austin Heyer, he dropped to his knees and was just sobbing. So that was a really illustrative scene right there on the court. And tell you the truth, they remained in the locker room. I wanted to get the story in forever. Sam did come out first, and he's just a class kid. Great athlete, great kid. And he took a little time with us. Dave Goldstraw he started talking to me, then he had to just kind of walk off to the corner for like 20 seconds and compose himself, and then he came back and talked. So it was terribly emotional, obviously.
Now, we've been unpacking, and there's so much, but I don't know what your initial, when you start breaking it down, what you point to first, because so much happened, but. Mike and I have been talking. I thought, West Haven was on the verge at the end of regulation and the two overtimes. You thought they were going to put Staples away, but they just couldn't do it. And the Wreckers hit tough shots or made some free throws to send the game another period. And finally, at the end of the third overtime, West Haven was finally able to pull away.
Yeah, well, let's just take the four key things to regulation. I was just jotting that down. West Haven was up 48-45 when Lohman hit a three to tie it with 2:30 to go. Tobias stole the ball with 1:14 left, and there was a foul with no free throws by West Haven, and Staples had the chance to win right there and make history, and a three didn't go down for Lohman as the buzzer sounded. So that's into the first overtime. And then the second overtime, like you said, West Haven looked like they were up 57-53, and I thought that was it. But Corrigan hit a layup, and then Heyer hit a layup to tie it with 15 seconds to go. Jordan Sarabionian, who is just a bull, went to the foul line 21. Fortunately, he only hit 11 for Staples, but he drew like 11 fouls. He went to the foul line with 6 seconds to go and missed both of them. That gave Kolatko a three, again at the buzzer, and it rimmed out. So on to the second overtime. And Corrigan hit a three to tie it at 65-65 with 53 seconds to go. Again, Sarabionian missed one free throw, put him up 66. And then Sam Kolatko, 10 seconds to go, he has a chance to hit two free throws and put him ahead. He only hit one, and that tied it, and on to the third. And then finally, at 75-72 with West Haven to go, Kolatko had one last three to tie, and it didn't go in. And then there was free throws from there. So there were chances to win it. There were dramatic baskets to tie it. And, God, it was both thrilling and agonizing through those clutch moments there.
Yeah, Sarabonian was he struggled on the line, but 19, 12 rebounds and six assists. And Aaron Johnson, I thought he was the best player on the court. He was 11-14 from the field and finished with a game high 27 points and 8 rebounds. Mike, I'll let you jump in.
No, how are you doing, Jeff?
Hi, Mike. I obviously
have been involved in a lot of exciting high school basketball games, but that had to be one of the most exciting I've ever witnessed or even been involved with. And you being there, I can imagine what the students and the crowd and everything else, a lot of ups and downs there. But at the same time, I think, forget the stats on that whole game. The heart with which those kids played for on both teams was amazing to me. I mean, they would not let the other team take it away from them. And as you say, it came down to the last shot where it rimmed in and out on Sam and the classic, probably the most classic high school game that I've witnessed anyway.
They said, I hesitated to call it the only 3-0 OT game in championship history because they hadn't checked back to double check on all the scores dating back, I think it was the 1923. But the CIA stats went back to 79, and it was the first three OT game. So it's hard to imagine that maybe somebody in 1930 went three overtimes, but that was hard. You know, like 133, 32 or something. But
maybe in 1937, that last Staples championship.
Right, I know. It's just so much. You were saying before, so much on the line. 27-0, first state title since 1937, and they came out. They came out shooting the lights out. They were 8-10 at one point, and they took a 16 lead, like with in the second quarter. Then they went cold. To West Haven's credit, though, like you said, Jordan Saronian, he goes to the hoop. LaShawn Roman's a slasher. He ended up with like 20 points. And Aaron Johnson is both a slasher and a knockdown shooter. He was 4-for-4 for three. So they kept them busy. They outscored Staples 11-5 on second chance baskets. And another thing there was, you know, Staples just defends the heck out of the ball. I watch them when they're just always in set defensive positions. It was like a coaching clinic a lot watching those guys defend. But they like to take a lot of charges when they can get them. And as you guys know, the difference between a charge and a blocking foul is as tough a thing to differentiate as there is in sports. And, you know, a couple of calls won against them that maybe they thought, or a couple of them won for them. But there were a lot of that in key situations too. But fortunately for both teams, both Tobias and Cerboni missed a ton of free throws. So that always kept both teams in the game.
Yeah, you know, Dave Goldschau always says, if you don't play defense, you're not going to play for me. And there was nobody on the none of the five players last night were coming out of the game for not playing defense. And, you know, to West Haven's credit, you said Staples was 7-for-9 in the first quarter. And then the two middle quarters, they were 7-for-23. You know, I thought West Haven did a good job mixing their defenses. As we finish up with you, Jake and Mike, how do we judge Staples' season now? Obviously, if it was 27-0, it was one for the ages and one of the best seasons in state history, certainly. Now that they have had that loss last night, how do we look at their season?
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, obviously, they feel bad about it, but you can't diminish what they've accomplished. I think that the championship game proved that. There were some doubters whether they could play with a quick team like West Haven, and you know, I think those doubts were just destroyed in that game. They deserve all the accolades that they could get, and you know, it's tough to go 27-0. Trust me, I was fortunate to do that, and
a few times.
You know, yeah, but I had some, you know, again, I had kids with a lot of heart, and Staples had heart, and well-coached team. They played together. They really loved each other. I think Sam mentioned that, and you know, that's very important. And I'm sure I didn't follow West Haven all that much during the season, but they had to have that same kind of attitude. I mean, first of all, knocking off the team that everybody had crowned champion before the season started. And that game, I watched that. They were so gritty in that game that it was, you know, an amazing event. So it's something that, you know, I'll always remember, and I'm sure the people in the state of Connecticut will always remember that game.
Yeah, I hope they were. First of all, I mean, everybody was sitting around looking for the coronation of a three-peat by Notre Dame West Haven and Abdu Torre. And this kid, True Kitson, did a great job on him as they won. And then he had Sam a lot. Sam didn't score until the third quarter, and he ended up with 12 points. But it was 0-for-7, and they mixed up their defense. And everybody was waiting for that coronation. And if anybody had a hint of disappointment that they weren't there, it was overridden by this historical, memorable game. So, you know, I just think about how in the future we'll be looking back that no, Staples did not finish the job ultimately, but I think we're going to remember this game. So it's always going to have an asterisk, you know, next to it, because yes, they have one loss, but that one loss was just an unbelievable night of basketball.
Yep, I agree with you fully. It was, you know, 27-0 would have been unbelievable. It was 26-1, but if there's any way to say, like, term something the most positive loss you could have, that's what it was. And everyone will talk about the 26-0 Staples team that was part of, didn't lose, but was part of this probably the greatest state final ever. Well, Jake, I appreciate you taking the time after a late night, and it's baseball season. I got a story for you to start working on this week we could talk about.
As long as the weather warms up.
Enjoy reading you. You do a great job, Jake.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Jake, you go yard every time, and this week in particular. So thanks for the great contributions to the Rudin Report, and thanks for taking a few minutes here. I appreciate it.
Okay, I really appreciate it. Talk to you guys later.
All right. That was Jeff Jacobs of the Rudin Report. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school basketball. You're listening to Nothing But Net on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back in just a little administrative business. This is the last episode of Nothing But Net for the season. I'm going to do a show next week that I don't know what, I have no idea who I'm going to have on next week. I'm going to come up with some concept or theme. It'll be some, maybe some FCAC athletes or coaches, people I didn't get on. I'm not quite sure. I have to think about it a little bit more. And then the week after, we're going to transition, and I have a name for the spring show, which I will announce soon, but it's going to be a baseball and lacrosse and softball-centric show for the spring. And it looks like I'm going to have, I've been lucky to have Mike as my co-host for the winter and Sean Ireland for the fall. And I have somebody with the same marquee value who told me this week he's probably going to be free to be co-host at least for part of the show. So we'll announce that. Also a big announcement coming this week, something I'm really excited about that's kind of been put together quickly, but we're going to be having a Rudin Report event, an Alzheimer's walk, and I want to try to bring the entire FCAC together as it did with me for the Fairfield County walk and Alzheimer's for 4 years leading up to 2000, going to 2023. But I have a commitment from a school, and we're going to do a nice event, and I'll be promoting that in the next day or two, so be on the lookout for that. Mike, I told you the only negative thing that could possibly come out of the game last night is you can forget about having a change to the state tournament format, and we're not going to debate the state tournament format. It's not the right time, and the CIAC had not one but five great games in which the lower seeded team won. But you know what? It's going to be. They're going to look at. They're always going to tell you what happened at Mohegan Sun, and that's going to be the focus, and not the early part of the tournament where you know, Staples played a team that was 0-20 early on instead of playing somebody that should have been like around the 16th best team. But I thought about this morning prepping, and I don't know if I'm just grasping here or not, but you think part of the reason we keep the format like we do is to prevent early round upsets so we get games like last night?
Well, 100%. You know, what CIC looks at is, I think, the finals at Mohegan. And, you know, they want the best teams there. Particularly in Division One. Division One really came down to eight teams, the way they have it set up. And once you got out of the quarterfinals and went to semifinals, which you had really the four best teams or four of the best teams in the state. And they battled each other, and Staples and West Haven put on a classic display. And, you know, to be honest with you, it was a great game, and you know, I'm sure the CAC is very happy with that. And as you said, several of the other games were exciting, and you know, I don't think they have to change everything, but I think they have to change Division I especially and get the best 16 teams into that division. And based on what the teams do this year, not an 0-20 team.
I just wanted to bring out, and today's not the day to get into that. And it was great, and you know, I'm happy for basketball in Connecticut. I'm happy for the CIC. I'm happy for kids, coaches, that we got a day like yesterday, and we had a night like last night with Staples West Haven. You know, I hope the state committee will kind of look at the entire tournament. And we only talked about it. We talk about it a lot, but we talk about it because we care. It'd be easy if we didn't care. We wouldn't be saying, but I couldn't be happier for Connecticut basketball that we got a day like we did yesterday at Mohegan Sun, that you had a championship game that was won for the ages. I love when Connecticut sports is at its best, and it was yesterday, and I'm hoping they get five great games today, and we'll see what happens with that. And I think our next guest on the line here. I think we have hold on here. He's calling in here, Mike, but we can introduce him. But you and I both have long-standing ties to Dave Danko. My third year as a sports writer, 1984, I became the sports editor of a twice weekly paper in Fairfield, and Dave Danko was my male athlete of the year in helping to lead Andrew Ward to the state semifinals, and I referred to him, and we joke about it to this day, as a warrior. And Mike, back at that time, you had the opportunity to coach him, and he's the longstanding coach for the Fairfield Ward girls team with over 500 wins, and he was honored Friday night, and I was proud to be up at Mohegan Sun as he was honored with a merit award, the only FCAC representative who was honored. And I just wanted to give him a couple of minutes here because he's a great guy, and he's a lot of fun, too, and that's Dave Danko. Dave, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, morning, morning. Dave refers back to 1984, All-Star game that in those days we used to have a practice before the All-Star game. And, you know, this short little point guard from Andrew Ward told me how we were going to win the game. He was going to take care of things. And during the practice, I forget who the other team had. They had a kid who could shoot it pretty good. And he said, "Nah, he won't shoot anything. I'll be on him." And he didn't score that much. And we won the All-Star game. And that was my first impression of Dave Danko. And, you know, to get an award like that, to be honest with you, I think it's a little late in getting it. He's much deserved of such an award, and I congratulate you on that, among other things. You know, you said to me, you want to know where your ring is. When I first took over the girls in 2018-19, the first call to a coach I made was to Dave, and I said, "Coach Danko, how do I coach these girls?" And you said to me, "Layups and foul shots." So I said, "Layups and foul shots." He said, "You've got to practice that all the time." And to be honest with you, we started the first practice I had with Trinity at that time with layups. And 20 from the left, 20 from the right, 20 down the middle. And if they missed, they had to start over again. So sometimes the whole practice was layups. And then after that, we'd shoot foul shots. And they had to make a certain percentage in a row where we'd run. And it came down to we made it all the way to the FCAC Finals against an undefeated Norwalk team and almost beat them. But then we went on to win the state championship. And I give a lot of credit to Coach Danko. Now, I'm going on about him, but I really mean it. He gave me an out-of-bounds play, even when I was coaching the boys. And to this day, when I was coaching, I always used that out-of-bounds play. And I would say 90% of the time it ended up in a layup. no one knows more about basketball or handling kids than you, Dave. And again, I congratulate you.
Well, thank you, Mike. Well, here, my first impression with Mike was we're at this All-Star game, and he starts me. And he goes, you know, I'm risking my reputation by go out there and don't make me look bad. Please, my reputation is on the line right now amongst these coaches and players. So I thank Mike. He had faith in me. I always followed his program. Likewise, I looked up to him. I watched what he did with his teams, how successful he was. And I try to, you know, go off him, like many coaches that we had. We had so many terrific coaches in the league, and we developed good friendships. And I appreciate Mike. I know we were good friends to this day, and I see his daughter out with her children, and always a special.
Well, yeah, no, special I don't know. That could be a problem running into her.
She's very competitive, which we love. So, no, hey. I thank you guys. I thank you for everything.
Hey, Dave, you've become a really, really close friend, and it's a friendship I value, and I was proud to be there, and we had a group of about 30. It was a testament to your life. The cross-section of people were there, and to be able to make a toast. But talk just a little bit about how you went from being a boys basketball player to a girls coach, and just the sense of fulfillment that you must feel for all you've accomplished.
Right. Like Mike said, jumping into girls basketball, I got a phone call from the guy who really started my basketball career, got me in focus and coaching, was Mike Abraham. Mike Abraham, Dave Schultz, and Glenn Macno were the foundation of my, you know, building my success. And leaving Southern Connecticut that day, knowing that Mike has the job, I assumed he was coaching the boys. He sat me in a room and he said, I go, I'm ready to take on the freshman boys. He goes, no, you're going to be the freshman girls coach. I go, come on. I go, really? I can't handle this. I'm a young guy. I've never been around the girls game. And he said to me, and he used the real, I can't say it on the air, but he said, listen here, blah, blah, blah. Coach basketball, if you don't like it in 1 year, get out. And you know what? It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I developed great relationships through the girls end, really, really strong families and a really good foundation. And it made my life. It shaped my life. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to those guys, Mike Abraham, Glenn Macno, and Dave Schultz. But, you know, it developed. And I was allowed to meet Mike Walsh and all these guys. So it really, really, coaching girls and coaching basketball has been a really, truly a blessing. And it's a passion that I do love and I still want to carry on. But back with Mike, the other thing I said, Mike, when girls basketball, the team with the least amount of turnovers as well usually wins. So there it is.
Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, I'm going to our mutual friend from Westport, whose daughters you coached, just texted me, what kind of love fest is this on the podcast? Guys, thank you. Some tough questions and make them squirm. I said that happens at 12:01. We go back to that. But yeah, Dave. You just have to. It just has to be so much to you to not only accomplish what you've had the life experience you've had and will continue to have, but then to get recognized for it as well.
Right. Well, it's the strong foundation I have through my administrators in the town of Fairfield that put up with me for 36 years. You know, there have been times where, you know, obviously you can't make everybody happy, and there were some questions. And more importantly, Gina and all the ADs I've had, I've had wonderful and strong ADs that always backed me and always, you know, sometimes I may be wrong, but they got me through it. And I made, you know, they understand that, you know, can't always be a certain way. You got to look at things in the whole picture. I've learned that. I've developed that. And I appreciate it. I've become a person through them. I've become a better person to allow, you know, for them to allow me to coach these wonderful kids.
Well, Dave, I just wanted to get a couple of minutes with you on here. You deserve it. You've got boys basketball ties. And boy, who would have ever thought that, you know, the 85 state semifinals, you and I would still be talking to each other. But I'm glad we are. I'm glad you've been a good friend. I'm really proud of watching you all you've done, and Yeah, as I said Friday night, you've become a role model. You've become a role model and been a positive influence on a lot of girls' lives, and I respect that. Congratulations. You deserve everything you get, and thanks for joining us here.
Thanks again. It's, you know, Mike, you, the strong foundation that I've been involved with, and it made me to where I am now, so... I go to church every morning. I thank God for the people that I have surrounding me. And the success has come from the people that gave me a chance.
Congrats, Coach, because you deserve it. And, you know, I think the good Lord takes care of those who take care of other people. And you certainly have done that. And I understand you're pretty lucky, too. So buy me a scratch ticket, will you?
Yeah. So the mortgage is paid. The mortgage is paid, and life is. I'm smiling a lot more. You know, you got that off your back. So things do happen.
Yeah, our friend here was a little bit of a lottery winner this winter too, which I guess is so widespread out there. But we talked now about Dave and the $1 million body. So. the million dollar buy, but Dave, you deserve it all. Thanks a lot.
You guys are wonderful. You're doing a great job. Everything, you know, with the FCAC, I truly appreciate you guys. And Mike, it's always good to talk to you.
Okay, we appreciate you.
Absolutely. All thanks, right, thanks, Dave. That was Fairfield Ward Girls Coach Dave Danko. Take our final break of the year, and then we'll come back and tie up the season. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Everything you need to know about high school basketball. The Rudin Report presents Nothing But Net with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back. And Mike, I'll tell you, it's these final minutes I kind of have a hard time just kind of like wrapping up the year, because that Staples game is just like an eclipse and just kind of blocks out everything else. Yeah, you can't, because you can't really talk about the year without Staples, and not just rolling, but steamrolling through the FCAC and winning the championship. And you know what it's like. You know what it's like going unbeaten through a season. You had I forget how 60 what games that you won in a row. So you know better than anybody about it. And then to just be a part of what they were a part of last night.
No question about it. And you know, as I said before, it starts with the players and the heart and the determination, the hard work that they put in, and Staples did that this year. And I almost can relate a little bit to them in that 2005 with Craig Ostry and that group. We played Hillhouse double overtime at Warren, and came out on top. And then we went to the state championship game, and we played Crosby, who was, you know, really, really good team. And we ended up losing at the buzzer, and I'll probably remember that as much as the games that that we won state championships. But it didn't take away from the great season we had that year. And you know, Austria went on and played at UConn, obviously, and we had Schrelzer, who went on and was captain of Brown University. But it was a great group of kids, and just like Staples, I mean, really. Let's look at what they've accomplished. You can say, you know, you can only play the schedules that's put in front of you. And they really did not have too many close games, except for maybe Notre Dame or Prep and Ludlow. And to do that over an entire season is a credit to them and the coaches. And, you know, to lose a game like that, it's a game that everybody will remember. And they will remember... not only West Haven has been a good team, but Staples has been a very good team, too. And, you know, kudos to them and congrats to them.
Yeah, in a sense, they were almost a prisoner of their own success. And, they, you know, bottom line is they just had a lot more talent than anybody else in the FCAC. And it's tough position to be in when everybody just assumes you're going to go undefeated. but it's it's still not easy to do that, and they did. And, you know, they got to win another FCAC championship, and they got to be a part of the you know, probably the best state championship game ever. And so they're etched in lore for a lot of things. And I don't know what they're going through right now, but I hope right now, and certainly it will be the case in the days ahead when they have their banquet, and when the class of 2006 and 2007 have their class reunions, and the basketball players get together, they're going to be talking about last night and the past 3 months, and they're going to talk about what might have been yesterday, and they're going to talk about what was, and hopefully what was is what gets discussed the most.
No question. And the friendships that you develop, in this during the season will carry on forever and in lifetime, and they'll always remember that. And I think that they've set a standard at Staples. Now, Staples basketball is going to be expected to be one of the top teams in the FCAC next year, and, you know, maybe even the state. So, I mean, that's really important, too, the culture that you would develop and go on from there. And, I do have to give a quick shout-out to the former coach who Dave Goldshore took over for. Colin Devine, who, kind of set the foundation for that program. And he worked closely with Dave, and Dave worked for him. And, I know that he had a lot to do with the success at Staples. So the people at Staples should be very proud of their kids, their team, their school, for what they've accomplished in basketball. I know they've always been successful in other sports.
The class of, bottom line is the class of 2026 set a standard, and their position for the long run. Mike, it's been a lot of fun. Nobody I'd rather have in the front row with me.
It sure has. Listen, I enjoyed it a lot. I look forward to doing the Sunday morning show, and I appreciate you having me. And I will continue it hopefully in the future.
We'll do it again last year, and I'll talk to you from the car in a few minutes. That was the final episode of Nothing But Net, brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Follow up in the spring, 2 weeks. Have a good Sunday.